The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome in students of the game. My name is Alex Bauman, and as always, I'm joined by Gray Oldenburg and Nathan Glidewell. Today we've got an action-packed show featuring discussions about college football, college basketball, and the NFL. But before that, let's jump into AAA. The first story we have today is Marvel Studios' Black Panther: Wakanda Forever was released in theaters worldwide last Friday, November 11th. What do y'all think about this release of the movie?
Yeah, no, it was a... I know the first one was great, and I have high expectations for this second movie coming out. And, you know, as far as, you know, Marvel, they've done a great job of implementing Black Panther into this kind of whole big picture. I know I've really enjoyed seeing, you know, Black Panther and Infinity War and Endgame. So, you know, it sets up, you know, more of a bigger plot going forward. I really like this from Marvel. Gray, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, just like you said, the way Marvel kind of pushed this forward and made this bigger than what it seemed like it was going to be, it's a fantastic and a brilliant move by them. I love the first Black Panther. It was a great movie. Obviously, I think this movie will play a lot with the passing of Chadwick Boseman back in 2020. Obviously, that was very tragic, and this movie sets it up very well, just like you said, you know, going forward. What about you, Alex?
So I guess in the auto one out, having seen the movie, went to see it the day it released on Friday. But I thought Letitia Wright, who plays Shuri, did an amazing job as the lead actor there. But I also think Queen Ramonda, who's played by Angela Bassett, gave a Oscar-worthy performance. She's very emotional throughout the movie. They did a great job, you know, giving a tribute to Chadwick Boseman and his character T'Challa. I think they handled that really well. So I think there's a lot of good actors in this film, and also the guy who played Namor, Tenoch Huerta, did an amazing job playing that villain. So I think there's a lot of good things about this film, and they did a great job giving a tribute to Chadwick Boseman throughout. All right, the second story we have today is the Miami Heat and Miami-Dade County have terminated their arena naming rights deal with cryptocurrency firm FTX after the firm filed for bankruptcy last Friday. What do y'all think about Miami Heat ending their relationship with this company?
Well, I mean, they kind of had to, right? When the FTC or FTX filed for bankruptcy on Friday. But I'm liking that the Bang Bros are gonna file for a new bid on the Heat's arena name. Obviously, you know, when I think of the Heat's arena, I think of American Airlines until of last season when FTX, you know, had the naming rights, but now it's going to look completely different. What about you, Nathan?
Yeah, I think, like, as a fan, you kind of get used to how your arena is named. You know, like, as a Thunder fan, I was used to Chesapeake Arena for the longest time, and I know it's the Paycon Center now. And you have, you know, situations like that all the time now, and, like, with FTX going bankrupt, of course, you know, they can't really afford to be partnered with the Miami Heat and keep the naming rights to the arena. So, you know, whoever has the most money, whoever, you know, wants to step up and, you know, be the name of the Miami Heat arena, you know, they're going to come forward. And I don't think the Miami Heat are going to have any backlash. You know, I know you talked about Bang Bros. I think that's, you know, they're going to stray away from that because it is so far from family friendly. Yeah. And that's not really inviting to exactly, most people. Yeah. But yeah, so whoever steps up and comes forward with more money than Bang Bros, I think they automatically get the partner. Alex, what are your thoughts?
I mean, FTX has really just shot themselves in the foot. This is a great deal for them. But I guess just this ever-changing economic climate nowadays really kind of ended them there, especially them being cryptocurrency kind of centered company. But also, you know, FTX is involved in other sports with Major League Baseball striking a 5-year deal with them to be the official cryptocurrency exchange. And then they have a partnership with the University of California, Berkeley, as well. So, you know, it's interesting to see how those organizations are going to handle FTX filing for bankruptcy. All right, Nathan, what do you got for us in this week of college football?
All right, we had number 9 Alabama on the road at number 11 Ole Miss. Bama ended up winning 30-24. It was probably one of the hardest games I've ever had to watch as a fan. same thing week in, week out, where our offensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien, was not able to effectively call plays. And on the defensive end, it seemed like Pete Golding just doesn't game plan a lot for, you know, teams in general. Gray, I know you're an outsider here, the Auburn fan in the group. What did you see from Alabama and specifically their defense that, you know, kind of, you know, almost lost in the game?
Yeah, no, the defense, I think both the coordinators for Alabama right now are problems for the university and for this team. Defensively, Pete Golding, it just didn't look like Alabama was as prepared for this game as they have in the past. And you could say that about Tennessee. You could say that about Texas. You could say that maybe even about Texas A&M. They haven't looked ready to go, especially with the talent that they have on that defense. You know, obviously Eli Ricks getting hurt the first play. Obviously Will Anderson getting hurt late in the game. Injuries are going to happen, but this team has to be prepared, especially, you know, moving on. Even though they're out of the SEC, you know, championship race. But offensively, Bill O'Brien is holding back this team as much as he possibly can. One specific drive, I mean, Jace McClellan drove them all the way down the field. I was like, okay, it's second and goal from about the 4. I think it's a passing down for Bill O'Brien. And yet again, it was a pass, and Bryce Young had to throw it in 4 feet in the stands. I just don't understand some of the play calling, some of the decisions, some of the substitutions, some of the situations that they're putting a player like Bryce Young in. I mean, I think if Bryce Young was calling these plays, Alabama would be undefeated and would look absolutely dominant. But since he's not, and since Bill O'Brien, y'all are closer to 7-4 than y'all are 10-0. I don't understand what he's doing with this offense. What about you, Alex?
The offense was just, you know, I think it was more spread out than last week. I mean, Bryce Young really spread the ball out to more than just 2 receivers this week. I mean, you had Ja'Cory Brooks, Jermaine Burton, Cameron Latu, and Kendrick Law all having pretty good games. You know, Bryce Young did the best he could with what the plays he was given. Jahmyr Gibbs going out really wasn't a help to that team at all. But for the defense, Byron Young really stepped up at the end of that game, having 2 sacks and 11 total tackles. But Terry Arnold, I like to point out, you know, he came in for Eli Ricks and he just played terribly. I mean, I don't even know if I can get any word worse than that, but he was worse. He just kept getting burned left and right. Malik Heath really had his number throughout the game, Ole Miss receiver. And then, but also Deontay Lawson, the linebacker, he stepped up for Alabama's defense. Really liked what he put out on the field there. But Pete Golding, like y'all said, his game planning was atrocious. There's multiple plays where there's a linebacker on a receiver. I don't know how that happens. I don't know if it's a miscommunication on the defensive side, like between the players, or just a poor play call. But there needs something change there with game prep and maybe even the coordinators at this point.
Yeah, it's definitely been very frustrating to see. It's almost a definition of insanity now. We go week in, week out, stretching the same thing, and we get different results. Anyway, so let's go ahead and move on to Auburn versus Texas A&M. Auburn ended up winning 13-10. Great. I'm going to go ahead and let you take the floor here. First win for interim head coach Kyatt Williams in a big, big emotional game. What are your thoughts?
It's an unbelievable environment. We knew coming into this game, you know, once Cadillac was named the head coach, and once we knew that this was going to be a night game, especially what kind of atmosphere this was going to be in Jordan-Hare, the difference between that atmosphere and the one just 2 weeks prior when we played against Arkansas, another SEC West opponent, who's better than somebody like Texas A&M, even though they lost to Texas A&M, and they still are better than them. It doesn't even compare at all. And Auburn showed out. I mean, the offense, you know, ran the ball. I mean, we looked like a team that was coached by Cadillac Williams, Jarquez Hunter had 13 carries for 121 yards. Tank Bigsby had 23 carries for 121 yards. I feed the running backs. That's what we've been doing all year. That's what we've been struggling to do all year long. We finally just do it, and it worked. And the defense was absolutely fantastic, especially the defensive line. Derek Hall, Kobe Wood, Marcus Harris were fantastic in this game. Carter Wegman is a five-star quarterback, couldn't see straight in this game. At one point, he had 14 straight incompletions because not only were his receivers not getting open, but he had maybe less than 3 seconds to get the ball out of his hands and was running for his life. Talking about Texas A&M, I think a change has to be made at the head coaching position. What about you, Alex?
I mean, I said a few weeks ago, Jimbo Fisher should have been fired. Kind of backed off that a little bit in these recent weeks, but after this weekend, you know, if his bio wasn't so big, I think he'd be gone even before the Auburn game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is pretty bad. I mean, this is their first losing season, Texas A&M, since 2008. They have a worse record than Vanderbilt. That says it all right there. I mean, and the two of their three games they actually won, they were still outgained on offense. So, you know, Jimbo Fisher, either he needs to figure out offensive coordinator duties to somebody else, give them to somebody, or, you know, just they need to fire him. Something needs to happen there.
He's
getting harder and harder every week.
Yeah, I mean, he benched a player for wearing sleeves.
I just didn't understand that. I was up in the stands with a bunch of Texas A&M fans that have come. They were all from College Station and super, super nice people. But they were unbelievably pissed off at the coaching. And every time a Texas A&M player got injured, oh, what's new? It was funny. It was funny.
Yeah, I'm sure that was there. All right, let's go ahead and move on to number 4 TCU versus number 18 Texas. That was our game of the week. TCU ended up winning 17-10. Alex, I know you've recently taken a liking to TCU. What did you see out of the TCU team to prove that they're one of the best 4 teams in the country?
I mean, this is a really defensive battle. I mean, being a Big 12 game, you would have thought this game would have been in the 40s. But, you know, both these teams' defenses really came out to play. I know TCU's defense held Texas to 199 total offensive yards, and Texas was 1-for-13 on third down. So, you know, this TCU defense really stepped up when they needed to. But, you know, the offense, they really rely on their running backs. Running back Keandre Miller had 21 carries for 138 yards, including a 75-yard touchdown, which really kind of opened up the game for TCU. And then Quentin Johnson had a big touchdown reception that kind of iced the game at the end. So, you know, TCU really looking like one of these top 4 teams, but, you know, they got a lot of work to do to get to that college football playoff. I know they have Iowa State coming up and Baylor as well. So there's going to be some big tests there, even though they don't have a record. I think TCU could fall to one of them, but, you know, this game, TCU played really well against Texas, who is supposed to be one of the better offensive teams in the country.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think we've seen the Texas offense that we saw prior to Ewers getting hurt in the Alabama game since then. I don't know what this Texas offense was. I mean, just like you said, this is a defensive battle considering it was a Big 12 game. For a while, it was 0-0, and then it was like 3-0 or 7-0. And I was like, what the – I mean, Texas was 1-of-13 on third down and had less than 200 yards of total offense, and they only lost this game by 7. I don't know what these offenses were doing.
I mean, Bijan Robinson only had 29 total yards rushing, so – that's kind of hurting Texas right there.
Yeah, Thomas making me think, was Texas offense really that good to start, or was Alabama's defense really just that bad? One of the big questions. All right, some other big games of the week. You had number 22 UCF beating number 17 Tulane 38-31. Number 25 Washington upsetting number 6 Oregon 37-34. Arizona beating number 12 UCLA 34-28. Number 15, North Carolina beating Wake Forest 36-34. Number 7, LSU beating Arkansas 13-10. I was really, really hoping that they would lose that game. you had Purdue beating number 21 Illinois 31-24. Vanderbilt beating number 24 Kentucky 24-21, snapping Vanderbilt's 26th game losing streak in the SEC. That's pretty big there. And then Boston College beat number 16 NC State 21-20. Any games stick out to y'all here?
Obviously, I think LSU only beating Arkansas by 3 and really struggling, offensively really struggling in this game. especially when they would get the ball in Arkansas territory. They really struggled to punch the ball in the end zone. But it really makes you wonder what kind of LSU team we're seeing now. Because, I mean, every single week we've seen a different LSU team. You go back to the Florida State game, then you go back to the Auburn game, then you go back to the Tennessee game, then the Alabama game. I mean, it's different every single week. What kind of LSU team are we going to see in the future? Are we going to see one where Harold Perkins absolutely goes berserk defensively and Jaden Daniels runs for 130 yards? Or are we going to see an LSU team who scores 10, 13 points a game? I don't know.
Yeah, another game that stuck out to me was number 15, North Carolina, beating Wake Forest. Drake May, I don't know how he's not leading the Heisman race right now. He's third in total in offensive passing yards in the country and first in total touchdowns. I really don't know how he's not number one. I guess it's just North Carolina. Nobody really cares for him. But, you know, Drake May really showing what he can do.
Yeah, that is very interesting. All right, so let's go ahead and start some college basketball, shall we?
Yes, absolutely. Thank goodness college basketball is finally here, and we're going to talk about it. So, recapping the first week of college basketball, first to start off with Alabama. Alabama defeats Longwood in their season opener, 75-54, and kind of an offensive struggle for Alabama, but then they respond absolutely incredible fashion, beating Liberty at home, 95-59, a great response from Alabama. What did y'all see from this Alabama team that in these two games showed their improvement already?
Wow, I mean, number one, you had players that stepped up. I mean, of course, I'm going to mention Brandon Miller a lot because he was overall dominant. But, you know, you look at people on the defensive end, and, you know, they were just getting done. I saw multiple blocks from Charles Bediako. He was all over the place with his length. And, you know, we really controlled the boards, which is something we struggled with last year. And I really like to see that. I know we had – I forget how many rebounds we had. We had 67 rebounds in that game versus Longwood, which is crazy to think, because I think our team high for rebounds last year was like 43 or 45, something like that. And we just absolutely went out of the water this year. And then going forth to, you know, this game versus Liberty, where we were shooting 10 for 22 from three, that's definitely a huge improvement since, you know, we only shot 8 for 29 against Longwood. So you're definitely seeing the potential that this Alabama team has. Alex, what did you see, and who's a player you would like to highlight here?
I like to highlight Ryland Griffin?
Yeah.
Off the bench. He played really well in both those two games. He scored 14 against Longwood and then 16 against Liberty. You know, that bench has been kind of weak for Alabama in the past. So it's good to see someone like him stepping up, and then Jaden Bradley as well off the bench in both these games. But it's going to be – I think it's really a learning curve for all these guys because they're all so young. So I really look for the Alabama team to continue to get better as the season progresses.
100%. So moving on to Auburn. Auburn defeated George Mason in their home season opener, 70-52, and then came back and had a struggle win against South Florida, 67-59 on Friday. This Auburn team, you got a little bit of injury. Jani Broome is shaking up with an ankle, and Chance Westry still hasn't played. So two newcomers that we haven't seen yet, or seen a lot of yet, at least. But you've got to find a guy that can make outside shots. You know, last year you had Jabari Smith. This year you've got to find a guy who can be that three-point shooter. And I think it's one of two of Allen Flanagan or Wendell Green. Both of those two had good games. Allen didn't score a lot in game one, but had a great game two against South Florida. I think Wendell Green has shown that he's one of the top point guards in the SEC, competing with guys like Sevier Wheeler and Javon Quinterly, and even guys like Mark Sears for Alabama. But can they be consistent shooting the basketball? What did y'all see from this Auburn team?
Yeah, I mean, definitely not what you wanted to see shooting from deep. I mean, 14% against, you know, a team like South Florida. I mean, not 14%, 20%, sorry. We got the wrong stats here. But, you know, so poor shooting. It's just one of the things that, as, you know, you go forward in a game, you're going to figure out. And I think it's more team chemistry than anything. And once they figure that out, they'll set each other up for some better-looking shots, and they'll start hitting at a more efficient rate.
Yeah, just like Alabama, I mean, this team's going to take a little bit to gel together. A lot of these guys are new to the roster. But, you know, you got to get better shooting from three. You're not going to win a national championship or SEC championship at that point, at this rate, shooting like that. We saw that with Alabama last year.
Yeah, it's just about knocking down their open shots. All, like, every single three-pointer shot in both of these games for both Alabama and Auburn were good shots. I don't think there was a bad shot taken from three. It's just not about knocking it down. And that'll come, you know, this is the first week of basketball. That'll come with, you know, chemistry, getting healthy, you know, getting back in the groove of things. So moving on, talking about our game of the week this past week, number two, Gonzaga beat Michigan State on an aircraft carrier, 64-63. I mean, this game was special no matter what the outcome was because of how cool the aircraft carrier was. I think it should have been Michigan State, North Carolina, just like it was in 2009. I remember that game. I remember watching that game vividly when I was 7 years old. Did y'all see a little bit of Gonzaga being a little vulnerable in this game with only winning by one?
Yeah, I mean, I already thought Gonzaga was going to be vulnerable with the loss of Chet Holmgren this past draft. You know, they returned Drew Timmy, which seems like he's been there forever now. But there's definitely a lot of holes in their lineup. And, you know, it's one of the first games of the season. So, as a Gonzaga fan, you're not immediately hitting the panic button on your season. I mean, Michigan State is a very, very good team, but you kind of wonder, you know, what's your ceiling, especially if, you know, a team like Michigan State comes out and shoots 18% from three and still almost beats you because you ended up shooting 22% from three. So, big questions like that for this Gonzaga team. And as far as Michigan State goes, I think they'll just continue to improve. Even though, you know, the Big Ten is a very, very tough conference this season. So, Alex, what did you see from this game that really surprised you?
I just didn't see a Gonzaga guard step up like we've seen in the past with Gonzaga, with players like Nigel Williams-Goss and Nimhard last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, really kind of disappointed in the guards for Gonzaga.
Yeah, definitely. Some other big games, or should I say other big upsets that happened this past week. UC Irvine beat number 21 Oregon 69-56. Colorado beat number 11 Tennessee 78-66. That game, I laughed a little bit when I saw that. Temple beat number 16 Villanova 66-64. Again, laughed a little bit when I saw that. Sam Houston beat Oklahoma 52-51. Stinson beat Florida State 83-74. And then what in the world is Louisville doing? They lost to Bellarmine in Bellarmine's first Division I game, 67-66, and then lost to Wright State, 73-72. I think it's time for Louisville to think about a change in the head coaching position or the head coaching spot. Do they call Rick Pitino back? I mean, might as well.
Oh my gosh.
They just fired their head coach last year, didn't they?
Yeah.
This is a new guy from Kentucky, Kenny Payne. So,
well, it's not off to a great start, I can tell you that.
Yeah, so now we'll recap some NFL for the weekend. Alex, take it over.
All right, our game of the week was Cowboys versus Packers. The Packers ended up winning 31-28 in overtime. Packers QB Aaron Rodgers led a 55-yard drive in overtime to set up a game-winning field goal, kicker Mason Crosby. This ended a five-game losing streak for Green Bay. Jackie set up that in overtime was Dallas went for it and failed to convert a 4th-and-3 on Green Bay's 35 on the opening possession of overtime instead of attempting the field goal. So, you know, kind of shot Dallas in the foot there. And they, at that point, they had blown a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. And that's the first time they've done that in franchise history. So, you know, good for Green Bay, not looking good for Dallas and Dak Prescott.
Yeah. I mean, this was the most classic Dallas Cowboy versus Green Bay Packer, Aaron Rodgers game-winning drive game I've ever seen. Like Dallas, you know, blowing the lead plus not going for the field goal and not getting to the fourth down, and then Aaron Rodgers going down and winning it. That was the most classic thing I've ever seen. What about you, Nathan?
It's almost one of those things where you miss Cooper Rush starting because at least you were winning back in the day.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought exactly? But, you know, it's you know, kind of crazy to see, you know, this Packers team, you know, they're down, they've lost, they're on a losing streak. And you have, you know, a really good team in the Cowboys coming, you know, to see you. And you definitely want to, you know, compete. You don't want to drop another game. but you also know who's on the other side. But you know, that doesn't concern anyone on that Green Bay Packers team. They just came out and they handled business. And when they were down in the fourth, they kept pushing, kept fighting, forced overtime, and you know, took advantage of mistakes by Dallas and you know, pulled out the win. So it's crazy to see how much potential this Green Bay Packers team has, even without, you know, not really a true good wide receiver. They have a bunch of options, very young at their wide receiver core. But Aaron Rodgers is able to get it done, and Aaron Jones continues to, you know, pound the ground game. So it's really cool to see this Packers team still, you know, compete against these better teams.
Yeah, I mean, throughout that game, they kind of took the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands. I mean, he only passed 20 times. But, you know, pretty really stepped up was Christian Watson, the wide receiver for Green Bay. Mm-hmm. He had four receptions for 107 yards and three touchdowns. Being that rookie that they drafted, you know, they really wanted him to step up, and this game he finally did. So it's good to see that. All right, Nathan, what do we got upcoming this week for college football?
All right, we got Alabama versus Austin Peay, LSU versus UAB, that's Georgia versus Kentucky, Michigan versus Illinois, TCU versus Baylor, Tennessee versus South Carolina, Utah versus Oregon, Ole Miss versus Arkansas, Auburn versus Western Kentucky, and our game of the week, USC versus UCLA. Wow, that's a mouthful. But, you know, I really thought this game was going to be set up to be a little bit bigger, but UCLA decided they wanted to go and lose this week to Arizona. so that was something. All right. Let's preview some college basketball for next week, shall we?
Yeah, absolutely. So Alabama plays South Florida on Tuesday and then Jacksonville State on Friday. Auburn will play Winthrop on Tuesday and Texas Southern on Friday. That Winthrop game is a part of the Cancun Challenge, even though it is in Auburn, Alabama. That's a little odd. But we also got Kentucky versus Michigan State, Gonzaga versus Texas, Virginia versus Baylor, Villanova versus Michigan State, Illinois versus UCLA, and then our game of the week, Kansas versus Duke. What game sticks out to y'all besides the Auburn, Alabama games?
For me, it's Kentucky, Michigan State. Even though Michigan State didn't win against Gonzaga, they really fought throughout that game. So I think that might be a really good game to watch with Kentucky and Michigan State there.
Mm-hmm. I think you definitely look at Gonzaga versus Texas and see this is not another game where Gonzaga can fall, especially after watching that game versus Michigan State.
Yeah, 100%. I'm with you, Alex. I'm really excited to see how does Michigan State respond after – you know, that fight on the aircraft carrier against Gonzaga, losing by one, and against the Kentucky team that's not healthy yet. They're very good, but not healthy. They probably won't have Wheeler or Sheway back, so we'll see. What about some NFL this weekend, Alex?
All right, so we got Titans versus Packers, which is the Thursday night football game, Panthers versus Ravens, Bears versus Falcons, Browns versus Bills, Eagles versus Colts, Rams versus Saints, Lions versus Giants, Commanders versus Texans, Raiders versus Broncos, Cowboys versus Vikings, Bengals versus Steelers, Chiefs versus Chargers, 49ers versus Cardinals, which is the Monday night football game, and then Jets versus Patriots, which is our game of the week. That'll be on Sunday. Any games stick out to y'all?
Ooh. And yeah, it's really tough.
Yeah, I like the – I'll go with the Eagles versus the Colts. Can the Eagles finally be tested? We'll see about that tonight when they play against the Commanders, but – can the Eagles finally get tested against a Colts team that looked a lot better this weekend with Jeff Saturday as their coach? They're getting back healthy. I don't know.
Slow down there with contestant here. But I'll go ahead and look at, you know, Cowboys versus Vikings. Vikings coming off a huge win versus the Bills, of course. We didn't really get a chance to talk about that. It's this is going to be one of those games where how do the Cowboys respond? Their season's obviously not over. They want to keep fighting and getting that playoff race. So, and how do the Vikings continue to have success? I think that's the big questions from that game coming forward.
Yeah, just got to feed Justin Jefferson there.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so this Tuesday, November 15th at 6 p.m., the CFP will be releasing the new the college football playoff rankings. Who do y'all have in your top four? Gray, I'll let you go first.
Oh, I think it's Georgia 1, Georgia 2, Georgia 3, and Georgia 4. No, but seriously, I think Georgia, and then you could order the Ohio State, Michigan teams 2 and 3, however way you want. And I think TCU will remain at number 4 this week, obviously. Their big win against Texas, that's still, no matter what the score was, that still was a top 20 win against Texas. So I think that stays the same. I think we could see somebody like LSU sneak into number 6, you know, jumping Oregon, maybe. Who knows?
I sure hope they would, since they lost.
Yeah. But could they jump somebody like Tennessee?
I don't know. After Tennessee just put up 66.
Yeah.
I mean, Tennessee thumped LSU.
Yeah.
That's true.
On the road, too, even though it was, you know, middle of the morning. All right.
Nathan, what about you?
I think you have to keep Georgia number one. I think Ohio State and Michigan are definitely interchangeable. And, you know, TCU, as, you know, what Grace said, they continue to win. They're going to continue to be four, even though I think a team like Tennessee is very, you know, built for a college football playoff. It'd be very interesting to see the results of, you know, the Ohio State Michigan game and what comes after, you know, conference championship week.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it had to be Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Michigan 3, and TCU 4. I mean, that's what they're going to put, but I wouldn't have Michigan in my top four personally, just because of, you know, their offense outside of Blake Corum is atrocious, say the least. JJ McCarthy is not it. I'd rather see Tennessee play Ohio State than somebody like Michigan, or I get wouldn't be Michigan at that point, but you know, I'd rather see Tennessee in there than someone like a USC. Yeah,
absolutely. I don't think that Michigan offense will be able to keep up with Ohio State. And we'll talk more about that next week with that game coming up on rivalry week. But yeah, just like you said, I think Tennessee or even somebody like Oregon or USC would, or even somebody like TCU, I think that offense would keep up with Ohio State more than somebody like Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, and then Ohio State, you know, if they slip up in that game against Michigan, I mean, do you think the committee would go, you know, do we put Ohio State at 4 instead of Tennessee?
At that point, what would happen? Ohio State definitely does not have the strength of schedule, and Michigan doesn't have the strength of schedule either. So you kind of wonder how these Big Ten teams really been tested. I know they're kind of beating up on each other, but, you know, a team like Tennessee – who's, you know, kind of proving themselves against like a team like Alabama, of course. But we did see them go on the road and lose at Georgia. So I think the committee would definitely be hesitant to put them at that 4 spot, especially since they've already seen the matchup versus Georgia. So it's just all about, you know, are we going to get this rematch or not? Greg, what do you think?
I think depending on how that game were to unfold, I think they would put Tennessee at 4 because Tennessee would have wins over Alabama and LSU. And Ohio State, their best win would be what? Northwestern?
Penn State or Notre Dame.
I think Tennessee obviously has the better strength of schedule. They also, you know, they'll obliterate Kentucky. I don't know. I'd probably keep Tennessee at that 4 slot and then move Ohio State down, but it also depends on what TCU does. So we'll find out.
We'll find out. All right. Well, you see all of our CFP rankings on our social medias later today. All right. Thank you for listening, students of the game.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.